This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great Christmas. And coming today, we'll visit with 6th District Congressional candidate Justin DeWitt. He'll talk about his race for 2018 for Congress. DeWitt is a Democrat. He's challenging two-term Republican Garrett Graves. And Justin DeWitt is believed to be the first openly gay man to seek a U.S. House seat in Louisiana. Garrett Graves is a man who won going away against Edwin Washington Edwards in 2014 and then easily won re-election in 2016. Pam Bordelon of The Advocate will reflect on a year of parties she covered for the state's largest newspaper in 2017. She is the reporter of record when it comes to reporting on social events, and we'll visit with the city's most prominent social butterfly. Now the news on 89.3 WR. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great Christmas and glad you're with us. We are doing a live show today. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so if you're in Baton Rouge by dialing 297-5633. Outside the area, the toll-free number is 877-217-5757. And you can send an email if you're so inclined to talk@talklouisiana.org. This has been an eventful year with President Donald John Trump taking the oath of office 11 months and 7 days ago, and Governor John Bel Edwards is one of the only Democrats in the Deep South to be in a high position of government. He's the only Louisiana Democrat to hold a office of statewide import. He is, according to Bernie Pinsonat's latest poll from Southern Median Opinion Research, at 65%, his job rating is better than anybody else in Louisiana when it comes to statewide elected officials. John Kennedy, for example, the U.S. senator who may very well run against John Bel Edwards, is at 51% in Bernie Pinsonat's poll, and Senator Bill Cassidy is at 45%. Now, a Democrat is running for a seat held by Garrett Neil Graves, the 6th District Congressman who in 2014 defeated Edwin Washington Edwards with more than 60% of the votes. And his name is Justin DeWitt, and he is our first guest today. Justin DeWitt is a political newcomer. He's only 29 years old, and he is a surveyor who is trying to defy the odds and running as a Democrat in a conservative district, one that has been largely gerrymandered. In the old 6th District, which included Southern University and North Baton Rouge, it was competitive and kind of a swing district. Richard Baker, who served 22 years in Congress, didn't always have a breather. In 1998, he barely defeated Marjorie McKithen in a race. But largely, North Baton Rouge has been carved out of the district. So it is a district that has much of South Louisiana, but let's face it, it is a largely white Republican district. And Justin DeWitt is with us to talk about why he has decided at the age of 29 to throw his hat in the ring. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Jim.
Why did you decide to run?
I decided to run after the flood of 2016. That was what pushed me, prevailed me into running for actual office to make changes that I don't see getting done.
And you're facing a man who is popular. He was elected in 2014, defeating former Governor Edwards, who perhaps is the best-known politician in the history of the state outside of Huey Long, and he won easily. So is this tilting at windmills, or do you feel like you have a legitimate shot?
I believe I have a legitimate shot at this. Garrett Graves is a lot of reactive legislation he proposes. It's after a disaster or after something happens. There's never much of a planning ahead, such as the flood insurance program. Make little small changes after the fact, try to get you some the same money you would have gotten before, just a little easier. All reactive, not anything proactive.
Now, some would say it's easy to do Monday morning quarterback, or in this case, Wednesday morning quarterbacking. You're second-guessing him. What about the other members of the congressional delegation? I guess you could make the same case that you're making when you're talking about them as well.
You could make assumptions. I would say that my goals are more practical, more agreeable for the district. We don't necessarily share the same goals, Gary Graves or any other, some of the congressional district representatives. I'd say that our goals are maybe different.
When you compare the two, you're a Democrat, he's a Republican, mm-hmm. so there's some obvious differences. Does that mean that Congressman Graves largely votes with the Republicans? When you look at these breakdowns every week, the Advocate prints them, the Republicans almost vote in unison on everything, and then there's one Democrat voting differently, and that's Cedric Richmond. If you're elected, would you vote with Cedric Richmond 98% of the time?
I couldn't say that I would vote with any particular representative any percent of the time. I would vote for what's best for the 6th District, what's best for Louisiana, and what's best for the country.
What about social issues? We've got a governor who's popular. He's a Democrat, but he's very conservative on social issues. He's pro-life on abortion. He's a man who is not getting out there on the Democratic flank when it comes to voicing his opinions about a lot of social issues. How about you?
It depends on, like I said, social issues. Depends on which social issues those are. I voice my opinion on them. I would always vote for what's right in each issue, no matter what. Not personal biased or party biased. I'd vote for what's right for Louisiana.
What about abortion?
Abortion, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm a pro life person. I also don't want to. That's a very tricky. It's not necessarily a gray area. I mean, that's a gray area, not a black and white area. Most Americans see differences in each cases and stuff like that, and it's not easy to put a stamp on it.
Well, most Republicans would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned. Would you?
Roe v. Wade has been around since the 70s?
73.
I don't believe in. To make certain laws, to blanket us an issue with a law that just says no, 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 I don't, or yes, 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 I don't see that as a good thing to do for most laws. I think there's gray areas, there's areas of gray, there's areas that need to be tweaked, there's things that need to be done. But to just openly say a yes or a no to most things, that would be a flaw.
All right. But on that issue, and we'll get to others, what would be the ideal position for a congressman from Louisiana?
My position would be some along the lines of, it's not a black and white issue, it's a gray area, that also, there's gray areas to this, that also I'm not, I don't want to, that's a very difficult area for women and issues like that. I'd like to see more contraceptive ideas, more ideas to limit the amount of people in that situation, but.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number, and outside the area it is 297-5633 in Baton Rouge is the actual number. And Justin DeWitt is the guest, and we're talking about some of these social issues. Now, the governor is also, he is pro-Second Amendment. He's big into gun rights, even though he is a Democrat. Do you share that position?
Yes, I am pro-Second Amendment.
Pro-Second Amendment, meaning you would not be in favor of any kind of new gun regulation, or is there something you could find palatable?
We have current regulations on the books that are obviously not enforced in certain situations, such as the Texas mm-hmm. shooter. I like to see those laws enforced and the communication between the departments that are regulating or in charge of that be increased. I'd like to see the current laws we have enforced.
Now, you in your opening announcement, you announced that you are openly gay mm-hmm. and believed to be the first openly gay person to run for Congress in Louisiana. I know you don't like to be defined by your sexual orientation, and I don't think any of us think that that's necessary, but you have stated openly that this is something that has shaped your life. How so?
I'd say it shaped my life when I was younger. When you grow up and you watch legislatures or politicians use you as a scapegoat for policies to distract from other issues to better their agenda, or you use pass legislation that affects your day-to-day life, your finances, your ability for medical care, other things like that, when they personally affect you in that manner, that makes you follow that. That's made me follow the political arena for years. But like I said, that's made me follow it, and then the flood is what prevailed me. I mean, pushed me into it.
At 29, you say you have experienced discrimination, that you lived a life that most people, I presume, did not know you were gay for a long time. How has that affected you?
I would say it's affected me in the sense of I have been able to go to, you know, your day-to-day life, and as most people have said, and I still don't understand that, but you don't come off as gay. I've seen the underbelly of people, how they react when they don't know there's a gay person around, or when other people are around and they just assume you're part of their group and they just talk openly, free. I've seen the nasty side of life. Still to this day, like, John Governor is trying to make the was trying to get the ability to not be fired for being gay under government contracts. That would be an awesome thing. I don't think anyone should be fired for anything they do in their home.
Well, it's an issue that permeates society, and in Louisiana, people have strong feelings, I'm sure, on various sides of this issue. As a congressman, is there anything that a member of the U.S. House can do to address your concerns?
Well, my concerns on the sexuality thing, a lot of those concerns have been, some of them have been answered. There's still ongoing things that always can be fixed, and currently, this hasn't been brought up because of after the Supreme Court decision, it's went pretty quiet since then. So it's not a real hot topic.
But it is something that you have stated in your opening announcement. I think it was like the first paragraph that you I'm reading. It says, as a closeted gay youth, Justin DeWitt witnessed the passage of state legislation telling him he couldn't get married. Found out he could be fired if he came out of the closet, and was told that no one even wanted the blood in his veins. We're going to pick up with that. I'd like you to comment, and Justin is here. We'll go to the phone lines as well. There are some people waiting to talk to this gentleman who is seeking the 6th District Congressional seat currently occupied by Republican Garrett Neil Graves. We're back after this pause on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing. Again, your local number is 297-5633, outside the area, 877-217-5757. Justin DeWitt is with us, candidate for Congress in the 6th District. He's all of 29 years old. He's challenging Garrett Neil Graves, who will be 46 January 31st. And Graves is in his second term. We'll be seeking a third term in office, and this young man who's with us wants to be elected as a Democrat, which, as we know, is very difficult. And a white Democrat is even more unusual in Louisiana. The only Democrat standing in the congressional delegation is African-American Cedric Richmond, who represents a largely minority district that spans from New Orleans all the way up through North Baton Rouge. And an irony is that Cedric Richmond has both major airports in the state in his district. 877-217-5757. But I noted your opening release when you announced your candidacy for Congress a few days ago. You stated that you have been a closeted youth and found out that you could be fired if you came out of the closet, and even that no one wanted the blood from your veins.
As a youth, obviously, being gay, I came out later on in my life at about 17 years old, my senior year. Of course, there's some people that didn't like it, but like I told them when I came out, I'm not asking for acceptance. I'm letting you know what I do in my life. If you like it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. I'm not looking for acceptance. I do what I do in my life, and you do what you do in your life.
And you'd like to see the state as a whole, and I suppose the country as a whole, and mankind have the same approach.
It would be nice if they had the same approach. I mean, you don't need to discriminate against anyone for their color, their gender, their age. I don't see a point of discriminating against someone for their sexuality, unless you're not being forced to do anything in that manner. So it shouldn't bother most people. I hope it doesn't bother most people, and look to move forward.
877-217-5757. And you are in a relationship?
Yes, I'm currently. I'm married.
You're married, and you were married when?
2015 October.
So that's right after the Supreme Court made its ruling.
A few months afterwards, yes.
877-217-5757 is your number. Phil in Jefferson Terrace, you're on the air with Justin DeWitt, candidate for Congress. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Good morning, gentlemen. And thank you, sir, for first of all, for running for office. I got to say, you're straddling four rails instead of three rails now as far as what you're going to be contending with God, gays, guns, and you're a Democrat. So I just, you know, thank you for running. We need to have those choices. And I would also say that it's kind of hard to have those gun laws enforced when the NRA has seen to it to cripple doing any honest research. And really, you cannot, the background data collection of information doesn't work. And it's been designed that way. So anyway, thank you so much. You got my vote. Bye. I hope that.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Justin, any comments?
He mentioned the gun regulation. We have regulations already on the books. I believe in the Second Amendment, but it also says well-regulated in it. I'd like to see it well-regulated. The NRA likes to dump money into candidates that are pro-Second Amendment, supposedly, but in order to be pro-Second Amendment, you have to be actually pro where the weapon is used for defense and hunting and other such things, not just pro-gun sales.
John in the Garden District. Hi, John. You're on Talk Louisiana with Justin DeWitt.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, man. So you mentioned about you didn't see where you need to be regulated what folks do in their own home. I was curious about things like smoking cannabis or something like that. I mean, should people be fired? Or are you going to try to change those kind of rules about what folks do in the privacy of their own home to that extent, or just keep it to a sexual orientation?
As far as what people do in their own homes, I'm a strong believer in your home is your castle, your home. I'm not a fan of anyone telling people, as long as it's not hurting other people, lawful, you're not destroying someone's property, you're not doing damage to anyone else, I don't see the reason why there should be a law banning what you do in your own home.
Thank you, John. Good to hear from you. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. DeWitt, I wish you absolute success in your campaign. And if I may make a suggestion, I would love to see you make the cornerstone of your campaign health care. When your opponent, Congressman Graves, votes against, when he votes for repealing Obamacare, he votes against taking health care away from people in your district who receive the expanded Medicaid, working people who pay taxes, who now have health care because of that, which your opponent would take away. Furthermore, Obamacare, he would take that away from some constituents in your district, and he's putting hospitals in jeopardy because hospitals, from my understanding, are not subsidized for treating patients who do not have health care, putting hospitals at risk in your district. And please find out from Congressman Graves, why is the health care of his family subsidized with taxpayers' money more important than the health care, the lives of people in the district he serves?
Health care to me is very, very important. I'm coming out with more about it very soon. Also, I can tell you from now, Congressman Graves has voted to just they don't have a fix. The Republican side and Graves, they don't have really a fix for health care, so they just attack it. The repealing of the mandate is going to injure health care. The expansion the governor did was a great thing that happened, and that's threatened by this. I don't understand what health care is a human right, a human need. Congressman Graves has done nothing but criticize it, but yet there's no solution on their side.
877-217-5757. David in where are you calling from, David? I'm not sure.
Lottie.
Okay, and Lottie. It's been a while since we've received a call from there, but you're on the air with Justin DeWitt. Hi, David.
Hey, Justin. How's it going?
All right. How are you?
I'm all right. Regards to the abortion thing, my understanding is it's not whether or not a lady has a right to an abortion or not. It's whether or not I should have to pay for it as a taxpayer if I'm against it.
All right. Is that a point? Any taxpayer-subsidized abortions, would you be against that?
I do not believe that it is legal to subsidize an abortion. I do not believe that's a law that we currently have. I think it's we subsidize contraceptives. We do not pay for abortions.
Well, under the Affordable Care Act, some are saying that abortion is covered, and that is an issue that some people latch on to, David and Lottie being one of them. And if we got on this, we'd end up talking about it for the rest of our time. We do have some other people we'd like to get to before we part company with you today, and we will discuss this down the line, David. So thank you for your question. Michael on Segan Lane. Michael.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm very excited to hear about your election, about your campaign, but I was wondering if you could give your thoughts on the current tax reform legislation that passed in Congress. Oh, I just would like to hear a little bit about your stances on that and how you would proceed with further tax reform in the future.
Thank you, Michael. The tax reform that Congress just passed, personally, I can give you an example. I make $48,000 this year in 2017, sorry. This tax reform change that they claim is for the middle class, my income for my two-person home is middle of the road. It's middle income for this mm-hmm. district, and I would get a $35 a check increase in my check. That doesn't sound like a middle-class tax cut to me when you give most of the benefits to the larger corporations. That's not a tax. They lied and said it's a middle-class tax cut. That's not what it is. It's a cut for upper-income earners and such like that.
Marie in Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge. Marie, good morning. You're on with Justin. You're on the air. Tell you what, Allie, let's wait and see if we can get Marie after we take a pause. We're going to take a brief pause and spend a little more time with Justin DeWitt. Born in Sulphur, graduated from Zachary High School, lives in Baton Rouge for over a decade, and he's running for the 6th District seat represented by Garrett Neil Graves. This is a district that sprawls through much of South Louisiana, and Congressman Graves was elected in 2014, defeating Edwin Washington Edwards with about 62% of the votes. We'll talk more with Justin DeWitt, and also we're slated to hear from the social butterfly from The Advocate, Pam Bordelon, after this time out on 89.3. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. Ali Baltazar is producing. Coming next, Pam Bordelon of Pam's Party Line and The Advocate. She is with us to talk about the social scene for 2017. But we still have a few more minutes with Justin DeWitt, candidate for Congress in the 6th District, 877-217-5757, or in the Baton Rouge calling area, 297-5633. Marie in East Baton Rouge. Marie, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. I've been wondering, you know, years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have thought of healthcare as a pro-life issue. And candidates that are not very good candidates, sometimes people vote for them strictly because of the pro-life issue. And so I'm wondering, why in the world aren't we considering healthcare as something that should come under the pro-life umbrella? If you think about it, as the income gap widens more and more, more and more people are literally dying. They may not. It's like an old historic building. You can take it down through a stick of dynamite in one blow, or you can take it down through decades of neglect. It's still dying. And so I'm just wondering about the inconsistency of these pro-life positions.
All right. Thank you, Marie. Your comments?
I would say I agree with her, the inconsistency in pro-life stances of the CHIP program. If you're pro-life, how can you not authorize that? If you're pro-life, how can you deny people health coverage?
All right. And as we wrap it up, Stephen Dixon writes, most of what Governor Jindal did was for his own political advancement without regard to what was good for us. I see the same pattern developing with Mr. Graves. Now, Garrett Graves was a protege of Bobby Jindal, who at times, as we know, was extremely popular, winning two landslide elections for governor, not so popular now. Should Garrett Graves' association with Governor Jindal be an issue?
If you want to bring up Garrett Graves' association with Governor Jindal, he's very similar to him. I'm personally not a fan of Governor Jindal and his work of leaving the state as it is.
Now, how is he similar, though, other than the fact that he worked for him?
Well, he worked for him. If you look at his past, he's done a lot of. I mean, he was given a promotion to the coastal restoration by the governor, stuff like that. He's very closely associated as far as policies, I would say.
Okay, well, we look forward to keeping in touch with you. You obviously have a story to tell, and one that I'm sure will gain relevance, and I suspect you'll get some national attention in addition to being in places like this.
Anytime I can come on,
thanks for
Jim,
coming in on a holiday. Appreciate
thank you.
Justin DeWitt. 877-217-5757. We're about to be joined by Pam Bordelon, the person who covers social events in Baton Rouge and beyond like nobody else for The Advocate. You can read her frequently in The Advocate. Pam's party line is where you find all the goings-on in Baton Rouge. People really get juiced up about seeing their picture in the paper, and Pam knows this well because she's been covering parties for a long time, going back to her days at In Register. And Pam, it's always good to see you. And every time I see you, I think it must be an event, because if there's an event, Pam Bordelon is there.
I try to be. Actually, I've been doing this for 24 years, Jim. Next October will be 25 years of covering parties in Baton Rouge.
Does it ever get old? Do you get tired of it?
No. Sometimes I go, especially on the weekends, if I'm snuggled up and, you know, have my grubby clothes on, and I'm like, oh, I really don't want to go get in the shower and get dressed up. But once I do, then I'm okay.
Well, you go to so many.
Yeah.
I would think at some point it's like, oh, my God, another party.
The people that I've gotten to meet and interact with and the friends that I've made through doing this job are the cherry on top. And that makes it not the same old party. That makes it a lot of fun. And it's been very rewarding, and it's greatly enriched my life.
And we live in a city, I think, that is a very social city.
Very much so.
We like to mingle.
We do. We love a party. And from when I first started, it has probably tripled in the number of events and parties that go on in the city.
So. And you're not somebody in Baton Rouge until you've been in Pam's on her page.
That's
Pam's
it.
Party
you got to be
in.
You got to be. We have our very own version of Page Six here in Baton Rouge. I actually had a little group of 20-somethings. They call themselves the Page Sixers when they got to be.
That was the New York Post, right?
That's it.
and it was Cindy Adams,
that's
was it?
That's it.
Pam is the Baton Rouge version of Cindy Adams. That's a very nice photo of you, by the way.
Well, thank you. I can credit Patrick Dennis, one of our photographers, with making me look good on that one.
And people may not know it, but Pam, who is now as Baton Rouge as anybody, went to Auburn University.
I did. But I cheer for the LSU Tigers just as hard, except for that one game.
Well, this year didn't turn out so well, did it?
No, it started off real good.
I bet you were just cheering your little heart out.
I was actually sitting on the 50-yard line in Tiger Stadium and was a happy, happy girl till right after halftime.
What the heck happened?
We decided to play it real safe and thought we had that one in the bag. And you should know, when Auburn and LSU play, it's not over till the fat lady sings. So.
Well, Auburn has not defeated LSU in Tiger Stadium since 1999.
I know. It's been a long time.
Three Alabama teams have now won on the hallowed turf of Death Valley since Auburn last won here. Alabama, Troy, and UAB.
That's it.
So maybe Auburn will win, but hopefully for LSU fans, not too soon.
Well, see, we're all good because we beat Alabama, so I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Auburn could lose every game of the year as long as we beat Alabama. I'm okay.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number. Baton Rouge, 297-5633 for the ubiquitous Pam Bordelon. She covers everything with Ernest. And speaking of LSU and Southern, much of our social scene is dominated by the university culture, which permeates this town.
It is. I actually have an online party calendar, which I try to keep very up to date for people who are planning events, so that we don't have five events on the same night. I'm trying to rectify that situation, not as much for myself as for the nonprofit, so that almighty dollar doesn't get divided up too much. And it includes the LSU and Southern football schedules in there, because as we know, every life revolves around that down here.
Now, how do you keep this calendar?
It's online. It's at theadvocate.com. The easiest way to find it is to just type in Pam's party calendar in the search bar. And I have things all the way through the fall of 2018 on there right now. So if you're planning an event, please check it out before you do that, even if it's a personal party. So, you know, you'll know where, whether your friends are probably going to be committed somewhere else.
And
so.
I can see you keep a handwritten calendar, too.
I do. This is my Bible because I have to have it right in front of my face.
Now, I think you could auction that off, and probably some charity would appreciate the proceeds. Pam's diary or a calendar for 2017. Actually, I see it chock full of names and places.
It's pretty full.
Times.
I actually have 2015 and 2016, too. I hang on to them for a while.
Well,
yeah.
You should. You should. And those are something that should be kept for posterity. They're really a snapshot of where we are as a community. But it's sometimes you got to pick and choose.
There's
so many places to go, to see. How difficult is that?
I try and go to everything at least once so that I can establish a rapport with the organization and mm-hmm. and get to know them face to face, so that if I can't go, I at least know who I'm saying, please get me a photograph, and we have a relationship already. So I laugh and tell people, don't invite me if you don't want me to show up, because mm-hmm. I will. So.
I'm often amazed when I read your stories, and I've seen you in places. You'll list like 20 people who were there, and you really don't take notes, do you?
I write it down when I get in the car, because if I don't, I used to could remember without having to do that, but I don't do that anymore.
And you write it all down.
Yeah.
But I never see you with a notepad. That would probably intimidate some people.
I do when I take pictures. I write down people's names. So unless I know them, mm-hmm. but it's kind of gotten where I kind of know who everybody is in a lot of the photos now. So,
well, much like Smiley Anders, you've become a staple of the city, and it's all right here in our local newspaper. And it's amazing how in these days when printed newspapers are out of vogue in some cities, as we know, in Baton Rouge, I know people who turn to Section B every morning, first thing to read Smiley, and then there are others. When you're in the paper, they'll turn to Pam's party page, Pam's party line.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to. It amazes me that Baton Rouge is devoted to its local newspaper, and we're mm-hmm. most appreciative of that. And people do like to hold it, and they like to see their faces in there, and that's why I try to put as many pictures in there as we can get in there on a given Wednesday or Sunday, and try to make it fun. Mm-hmm. Try to make it a lot of fun, and I like to think that I tell people I like to write it like I'm talking to my best friends and taking you on the party patrol with me. So,
well, the section is no longer the people section. It's eat, play, live.
Eat, play, live. Because that's kind of what we do. We eat. That's kind of what Baton Rouge does. We eat, we play, and it's about how we live down here. And that's
whose idea was that? Eat, play, live.
That was our editor, Karen Martin. That she gets credit for that one. Yeah,
it works. And years ago, you were on this show, and I asked you if there would ever be a same-sex couple in the wedding section,
There have been several, yeah.
There have been several right here in Baton Rouge,
yeah.
Which shows you how society has advanced in recent times.
It has.
But you don't really have a lot to do with that, do you?
No, that has become a paid totally handled through the advertising department now. So
you mean if I ever get married, I'm going to have to pay to get it in the Advocate?
Are.
Really?
Sorry.
Really? Really? I thought you'd just show up.
Well, I might just show up anyway, but we were actually one of the last newspapers, I think, in the entire United States that didn't charge for wedding write-ups.
But so that's big business.
That's
now.
Big business.
And so are Obits, by the way.
Yes.
Every newspaper.
In every newspaper. That's always been big business. So.
And one of the problems with an Obit is that if you die on a certain day, and as we know, papers aren't 7 day a week papers except for the Advocate and a few others, you could have your funeral and be in the ground by the time
anybody knows
it's in the newspaper.
That's it.
877-217-5757. talk@talklouisiana.org. back with another segment with Pam Bordelon of the Advocate. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. Ali Baltazar is our producer, and your number is 877-217-5757. Every Wednesday and every Sunday, Pam's party line is in full force in the Advocate, and today is one of those days. And there's this perception, Pam, that people only women read these things.
That's right. People say men don't look at that, but let me tell you, guys love it. They love seeing themselves in there almost more than women do.
I think more so. Men are more vain than women.
They loved. One of my Myron Falk, who was one of the founders of United Way here, many years ago, grabbed my arm and carted me off at a party. And he says, "You have to take my picture." And I said, "Sir," he says, "You have to take my picture. I haven't been in the magazine in forever, and people think I'm dead." So they have to be documented. You have to You have to be in there.
297-5633 is the number that Gaston on Highland Road called. Gaston, you're on with Pam.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I had just a real quick question for Ms. Pam, because I subscribe to The Advocate, and I wanted to see if she might have a picture of the gentleman who's accused of investment fraud. They don't have a photo of him. It'd be nice to know what he looks like. And maybe.
All right. You know what he's talking about?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, sometimes when people are not in the public realm, pictures can be hard to find.
Yeah, this
they're
is
not
true.
On social media. And sometimes people, as we've seen, it's happened here, if you've got the same last name, sometimes, oops,
yeah,
you print the wrong Ali
guy.
Baltazar.
That's true. That is very true.
That would not be good. But thank you, Gaston. And pictures, of course, are important for any story. Good,
yes,
bad,
they are.
Good, bad, or otherwise.
That's it.
Now, Pam, next week, will list her top events of 2017, but she's going to give us a bit of a preview, and she has a number of notes that she is sifting through. What were some of the highlights of
this past year? Mardi Gras, which is coming up, and actually is early this year, the first round of balls start January the 6th, which is the Feast of the Epiphany, which is usually when people just have king cake parties, but there are three balls that night. Yeah, we're going to start off early, but Mardi Gras has become really big in Baton Rouge now, so it dominates the calendar during those months. But there were several organizations that had really big anniversaries in 2017 and had lovely events celebrating that. The City Club celebrated its 60th anniversary and had a beautiful gala for that. Of Moving Colors celebrated their 30th. Mm-hmm. And then the Junior League celebrated its 85th. So they were all really big, nice parties associated with all of those events. And Todd and Gwen Graves hosted a beautiful dinner called the Aioli Dinner for the George Rodrigue Foundation, and that's based on a painting that he did, which was the first painting he did that included people. So that was kind of a really cool event. So, Best Dressed, which benefits the American Cancer Society, celebrated its 50th anniversary last year, or in 2017, too. So there's going to be a lot of, there were a lot of big, mm-hmm. really big, splashy events last year to pick and choose from. Mm-hmm. So those were all kind of really cool and neat. And then the Emerge Center had a Bee Gees tribute band, which brought everybody back to the age of disco had everybody.
40 years removed
that's
from
it.
Saturday Night Fever.
That's it. We were all doing our best John Travolta imitations, so that was a lot of fun. Lots and lots of fun. Mary Lou Retton was in town for her daughter is on the gymnastics team at LSU. Mm-hmm.
And you remember 84?
Yeah, she was here for a fundraiser for the Gardere School, so that was kind of special. That's one of the cool things about my job.
Did you recognize her when you saw her?
I did. But you have no idea how tiny she is. And she had on like 4-inch heels.
Yeah, she's not 5 feet tall, I don't think.
No, she's teeny-nicey.
Yeah, but she was hot in 1984 in Los Angeles.
Yes, she was.
I remember that. I
was watching when she won. So
yeah.
That was kind of cool. And Our Lady of the Lake kind of changed formats from its big gala that it had when they used to bring in entertainers, and they had a black tie bingo event in November. Actually, they had it on my birthday. And
I told them
November 30th. I said, thank you guys for throwing me such a lovely birthday party. So, but that was a lot of fun. It's kind of fun to watch adults play games that they played when they were mm-hmm. children and it's fun to watch them. They really get real competitive, and it was kind of fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. So they made a lot of money on that, I think. So That was a big event.
Which brings us to a question to talk at talklouisiana.org about favorite venues for events. You go to a lot of homes, but what are some of the public places that are good for events?
L'Auberge has, but the event center attached to L'Auberge Casino and Hotel has become one of the hot spots for events. Mm-hmm. I think they have done a lot to make it available at a reasonable rate, I've heard, for nonprofits to do events there. So there was one week where I was there like four nights in a row, and I was contemplating asking Mickey Parenton, couldn't he just give me a suite so I could just like spend the week there. That's a really popular one. The Crown Plaza still is a hot spot. They recently redid the Marriott, which is looks lovely, so I have a feeling it's going to start becoming a contender into things.
Downtown, any place?
The Hilton still downtown, and the some of the venues at the Shaw Center, mm-hmm. and of course the old governor's mansion and the old state capitol occasionally have stuff going on down there.
So we have a number of choices.
You have lots of choices. So depending on your size, mm-hmm. and your crowd as to where you want to go.
Well, based on the size of our city, I would say on the average we have an ample party scene.
Ample, very much so, very much so. And, of course, you know, you've got John Foltz White Oak Plantation, which is a gorgeous setting, and that's out, you know, if you want to travel way out of the loop. So that's a beautiful venue there.
All right.
So.
Here's another question from a listener, and this one is another Marie in Southtowns asking, has there ever been a really embarrassing moment at a party that you couldn't report?
Not really. I don't think
Come
so.
On.
Not that I was aware of, no. There really hasn't been. I've never faced that dilemma, so.
Sometimes alcohol is involved at these events.
There is. I take that back. There was a situation last year that was kind of bad, but
fight?
No fight. But you know, it was kind of embarrassing.
Raised voices.
Something like that, and you just it doesn't do any good to. Mm-hmm. Bring attention to that.
I remember reading about the writer Gore Vidal and Norman Mailer getting in a fight at I think it was Jackie Kennedy's apartment in New York City at an event, and someone, I was like, oh my God, and then someone said, you know, this is making your party. Everybody will be talking about.
Well, you know, people talked, but it's nothing that you mm-hmm. needed to shine a light on and.
All right, here's another a good question from a listener, and this one is from Tracy asking about, with the big story of the year being sexual harassment, are people mm-hmm. behaving differently at parties now?
I haven't noticed any difference. I know it's been kind of like the topic of conversation.
But
I haven't really noticed any people behaving differently.
It is remarkable how this has been a huge story.
It has been. It has dominated the news cycle probably in the past mm-hmm. past 3 or 4 months.
But so far, minimally, locally.
Yeah, but I do know that it goes on. It has gone on locally, sure. And there have been some women that, you know, amongst ourselves, we have discussed incidents. So there's a lot of Me Too here.
Yeah, you've been a victim.
I was as a young reporter right out of school at my first mm-hmm. job. Nothing horrifying or major, mm-hmm. but a subtle incident that just makes you feel uncomfortable.
And a listener notes that some celebrity chefs have been
exposed,
including John Besh.
Besh, yeah.
So, and he's pretty huge.
He's real big.
But what a tragic story for him, and most especially for the victims.
Yes.
And the fact that this went on unabated for a long time is curious and unfortunate.
It very much so. Very much so.
Well, as we look ahead to 2018, you say Mardi Gras starts early.
Mardi Gras starts early, yes. And one of the biggies of Mardi Gras this year is going to be Washington Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. which I am going to be attending for the first time. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's good, and that's in late January.
That's the last weekend in January.
And what about snow and New Year's?
That's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Right downtown.
I know. It's going to could be a totally new experience for Baton Rouge. I don't think we've
it
ever
It may made. Happen, though.
I know. It
Wouldn't
may.
That be something?
That would kind of be interesting.
But I wonder if it'll cause the crowd to stay away. We generally don't like that.
No, we don't. We kind of hunker down when it snows down
Kids
here.
Kids like snow. Adults run
Not so much.
And take off work.
That's it. We shut things down.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Pam, and we look forward to visiting with you often in 2018.
That sounds Thank like you. A date, Jim. Thanks.
And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, for Ali Baltazar, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening. Keep having a good holiday. Stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.